This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, Rabbi. Parshas Boy. We have a very interesting subject tonight. We're going to speak about a very tragic saga in our history. Something that's not too much is known about. Actually, it's not even really mentioned in the Chumash. It's not really even alluded to in the Parsha. But it's something that is clear. We see it in the Gemara, we see it in the Midrashim. Let's begin in the following way. We want to know, how long were we in Mitzrayim for? So, you know, they're conflicting psukim and the duration of time that the Jewish people spent in Egypt. So we have the pasuk in this week's parasha, U'moisha v'nei Yisrael shayoshu v'Mitzrayim, and the habitation, the settlement, that the B'nai Yisrael settled in Mitzrayim, shloishim shana v'arba mea shana. 300 years, 30 years, and 400 years. 430 years. We are in Mitzrayim for 430 years. That's what it says in this week's parasha. Fine. Aside from the fact that that's very hard to calculate, as we're about to see, because we were not in Mitzrayim for 430 years. We were not even in Mitzrayim for 400 years. We were not even in Mitzrayim for 300 years. We weren't even in Mitzrayim for 250 years. But the Torah says the habitation that we spent in Mitzrayim was 430 years. The obvious problem is that the Torah says explicitly that at the Bris Ben HaBesarim, Hashem tells Avram Avinu, Ki ger yiazaracha bi'aretz le'lohem, you're going to be strangers in a land that doesn't belong to them, va'avadum, and they're going to serve ve'inu oisam, and they're going to be afflicted, arba me'ois shana, 400 years. So it's an open contradiction. You know, the Pasuk says in Parshas Boy that we're going to be in Mitzrayim, that we were in Mitzrayim 430 years, and in Parshas Lech Lecha, the Bris Ben HaBesarim, Hashem tells Avraham, you should know that your descendants are going to be strangers in a foreign land 400 years. By the way, this pasuk that says they were in Mitzrayim for 430 years, this is one of the things that when Talmai HaMelech asked the Jewish people, the Chachamim, to translate in the Septuagint, they manipulated. They distorted the facts. They said that they changed the pasuk because otherwise there's no way to explain how we were in Mitzrayim for 430 years. So the definitive pshat here is what Rashi says. Rashi reconciles these two psukim. How do you reconcile 430 and 400? How does that fit together? So Rashi says as follows. Rashi says that Hashem didn't tell Avraham that we're going to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. He said we're going to be strangers, geirim, for 400 years. So Rashi learns that even from when Avraham was living in Eretz Yisrael, but it wasn't his land. After all, the pasuk says about Kanani Azba Eretz. So Avraham Avinu was living in Eretz Yisrael as a ger. Yitzhak was living in Eretz Yisrael as a ger. So already that counted as the 400 years of Ki ger yiazaracha bi'eretz lo lohem. So where does 430 years come from? So Rashi makes the following cheshbon, that from the Bris Ben HaBesarim, right? The Bris Ben HaBesarim was how many years before Yitzchak was born? 30 years before Yitzchak was born. So from the birth of from the Bris Ben HaBesarim until Yetzias Mitzrayim was 430 years. Avraham Avinu was 70 years old at the time of the Bris Ben HaBesarim. 30 years later, Yitzchak was born when Avraham was 100 years old. So from the time that Avraham had Zaracha, it was Ki ger yiazaracha arba me'oshana. So from the time that Avraham had children, they were strangers for 400 years. But going back 30 years earlier from the Bris Ben HaBesarim, you could count 430 years. But Rashi says it's not feasible to say that we actually were in Mitzrayim, not 430 and not 400. Because says Rashi, Kahas was one of the people who came down to Mitzrayim. Plus you add up the years of Kahas. You add up the years of Amram, Kahas' son. You add up the years of Moshe. How old was Moshe when they left Mitzrayim? 80. You don't have 400 years. You have about 350 years if you add up all their years, but their years even overlapped, right? Because Kahas didn't have Amram the day that he died. He had Amram in the middle of his life, and Amram had Moshe in the middle of his life. But if you add up all of the years of the life of Kahas, Amram, and Moshe, you don't even get 360 years. So it must be, how long were we actually in Mitzrayim? 210 years. 400 years, the shot clock starts from the birth of Yitzchak. 430 years was from the Bris Ben HaBesarim, right? That's the cheshbon of Rashi, the well-known cheshbon. That's how you reconcile all the dates. 430 from the Bris Ben HaBesarim. Which, by the way, it comes out an amazing thing. How old was Avraham at the Bris Ben Abasarim? 70. Where did the Bris Ben Abasarim take place? In Eretz Yisrael. How old was Avraham when Hashem told him, Lech Lecha, go to Eretz Yisrael? 75. But wait a second. But he was already in Eretz Yisrael 5 years earlier. Exactly. He had been to Eretz Yisrael before, and he left. When Hashem told Avraham, Lech Lecha, Hashem was telling Avraham, go back to the land where you were 5 years early, and you made Yerida, get back there. So that's how Avraham Avinu knew where to go. Hashem told him, go there. That's how the Malbim learns. Go to the land where you were 5 years earlier. Okay, that's the Cheshbon. So what's today's shir? I'm doing something new. I never did this before. I got a call this week from Rabbi Pinchas Friedman. The Shvilei Pinchas is in town. And he said, Daniel, I have a great maimer on this week, but I know you already. You don't look at my new maimerim. You only look at the ones in the Svarim. You're like, you're an old school guy. So you got to be out of the box. You have to look at the new maimerim. So I said, he said, maybe you'll be mater neder and you'll look at my new maimer. That's what he tells me. So I said, you know what, Rebbe, I'm going to look at the new maimer. I looked at it. I liked it. I said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to say it over. So before it goes out, I never did this. Not only am I looking at it, I'm saying over this week's maimer from the Shvilei Pinchas with a few additions of my own, but I don't get too much credit for this one. I'll tell you what I say, but this is mostly his maimer for this week. He's here. He's with us in the Holy Land in Borough Park. So this is this week's maimer. So the question is like this. Why do we have these two cheshbonos of 400 years and 430 years? Was it 430 years? If we were supposed to be in Galus 430 years, then when Hashem came to Abraham, He should have told Abraham, by the way, you're going to be in Galus 430 years. It started 30 years ago, and now you have 400 years left, but the total count is 430. And if the number is 400, then why, when we leave Mitzrayim, does the Torah make a big deal about the fact that we were here for 430 years? In other words, what's the key date? Is it 400 or is it 430? If it's 430, Hashem should have told Abraham 430. If it's 400, then it should say, when we left Mitzrayim after 400 years. Okay, so let's start with a Tosfos. Okay, you have to halt cup a little bit, just a little, not too much. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Yud Amud Beis, look at number 5. V'amar Rava Bar Mechasya. Rava Bar Mechasya said, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya Amar Rav. People have different kinds of kids. You know, you have one kid, they're an angel, they're polite, they're courteous, they do everything right, whatever you say, they listen. And you have other kids, you know, they don't listen, they're not polite, they could be annoying. And so, you know, are you allowed to show favoritism? You know, everybody has somebody, you know, everyone has their favorite. They're not going to say who it is, but are you allowed to show a child favorite? So the Gemara says, be very careful, you know how to do it. So the last time somebody showed favoritism to a child was Yaakov Avinu to Yosef, and it ended in an abysmal mess. The Gemara says, L'oilam al yishane adam benoi bein abonim. You can't treat your children differently. Everyone has to be treated equal. Now, equal means, doesn't mean you treat all your children equally, but everyone has to be treated with an equal system, meaning what is the right thing for that child. But you can't show favoritism. Why? Because of the garment of two selah of wool that Yaakov gave Yosef. Basically, Yaakov gave Yosef the ksoines pasim more than all the other siblings. Niskanu boy echav, the brothers were jealous. The nisgalgal hadavar, and things turned. V'yardu avisein b'mitzrayim. Basically, because of sibling favoritism, because of child favoritism, we went down to Mitzrayim. That's what the Gemara says. So Yosef Sota Binyamin, okay, that's a discussion. Very good. Frek Toisvis, that's really Otta, that's why we went down to Mitzrayim, because Yaakov showed Yosef favoritism. We just read in the Bris Bein HaBesarim that Hashem told Avraham Avinu, Hashem predicted beforehand that the Jewish people are going to go down to Mitzrayim for 400 years. That was before there was a Yaakov, that was before there was a Yosef, that was before there was a Ksoines Pasim. So how could the Gemara say, because Yaakov showed Yosef favoritism, we ended up going down to Mitzrayim? It was already predicted hundreds of years before. So look at the Lashon of Tosfos. V'yaf agav debalav hochi nigzar, even though it was decreed even without this, dechsiv v'avodum v'inu oisam, shema loy hoya nigzar aleim inoy kolkach. Maybe had it not been for the Ksoines Pasim, things would not have been so bad. Now, that's Tosfos saying a very compelling argument. The proof's in the pudding. Because even though God said 400 years, from the time Yitzchak was born until we went down to Mitzrayim, nothing happened. It wasn't that bad. So we see we could have done the time without real slavery. So what Tosfos is trying to say is that you're right, we needed to go down to Mitzrayim. But we could have done the time easily, like we started the shot clock from the time that Yitzchak was born, even though we weren't really slaves. So what Tosfos is trying to say is, it was the Ksonis Pasim that increased the bondage, but had it not been for the Ksonis Pasim, we could have done the time without being slaves. But look at the Lashon of Tosfos. Shahare Arba Meos Shana, because 400 years, Hischilu Koidem Shenoilad Yitzchak. The 400 years began before Yitzchak was born, Lamed Shanim, 30 years. Says Tosfos, the 400 years started 30 years before Yitzchak was born. You hear this? Tosfos is saying the 400 years started 30 years before Yitzchak was born. Is that true? Did the 400 years start 30 years before Yitzchak was born? The 430 years started 30 years before Yitzchak was born. The 400 years started when Yitzchak was born. So how do you read Tosfos? I understand the point Tosfos is trying to make. Tosfos is trying to make the point that had it not been for the Ksonis Pasim, even though we needed to be strangers, we didn't have to be slaves. The proof is we were strangers without being slaves for a very long time. But what are the words of Tosfos saying? Tosfos says the 400 years started 30 years before Yitzchak was born. Seems like it's a toss sofer. Either Tosfos means to say the 430 years started 30 years before Yitzchak was born, or the 400 years started from when Yitzchak was born. So comes the Marshal, Chachma Shloimei, the Yamshel Shloimei, Rav Shloimeh Luria, who some sofer writes, if not for him, we would not be able to learn Shas. He's the one who sifted through the Gemara and purified the text of the Gemara that allows us to be ma'ayin into the Shas. Says the Chachma Shloimei, the Ta'as Sofer in Tosfos. You have to change the Gersa in Tosfos. You have to say what Tosfos means is the 400 years hischilu mishenoilad Yitzchak. The 400 years began from when Yitzchak was born. But not the 400 years began 30 years before Yitzchak was born. That's not correct. That's not accurate. Our cheshbon is 400 years from when Yitzchak was born, 430 from the Bris Bein HaBesarim. So you have to change the girsa. Arba meos shana hischilu koidem shenoilad, hischilu mishenoilad Yitzchak. The 400 years began from when Yitzchak was born. That's the girsa of the Marshal. The Marshal says, Hachi Garsinon, Tuf Shana, Hischilu, Mishenoilad, Yitzchak. 400 years began from when Yitzchak was born. Yeah? Good. Comes the Shla Kadosh, and the Shla says, even though my Rebbe, the Marshal, changed the Gerson Tosfos, my Rebbe left me room to say an innovative Pshat in Tosfos and maintain the original Gerson. You could say, no, 400 years began 30 years before Yitzchak was born. But it's not true. The 400 years began when Yitzchak was born, not 30 years earlier. The Shla says, a chiddush nifla. You ready for this chiddush? When God told Avraham, you're going to be slaves for 400 years, he meant, you're going to be slaves for 400 years. He never meant 430. It wasn't supposed to be 430. It was supposed to be 400 years, starting 30 years ago, from the Bris Bein HaBesarim. The intention was, the goal was, what Hashem meant was 400 years to the Bris Bein HaBesarim. But Hashem changed his mind. Why did Hashem change his mind? Because when they sold Yosef, because of the Cheder Mechiras Yosef. Now, Yosef was how old when he was born? Zero. It was a trick question, okay? It was a trick question. Yosef was 0 years old when he was born. How old was Yosef when he stood before Paroi? 30. Because they sold Yosef, Hashem says, I'm not going to count those 30 years. So when Ribbono Shel Olam said, you're going to be slaves for 400 years, when he said that at the Bris Bein HaBesarim, he meant 400 years from now. Not from the birth of Yitzchak. He meant 400 years from now. The Ribbono Shel Olam meant 400 years. The problem was they sold Yosef. When they sold Yosef, Hashem tacked on 30 years. Tosfos is right. Sharei Arba Meos Shana Hischilu Koidem Shenoilad Yitzchak Lamed Shanim. The 400 years began 30 years before Yitzchak was born. It doesn't mean it really began. It means it was supposed to have begun. But because they sold Yosef, they delayed another 30 years. That's an incredible pshat. So you say it sounds a little, maybe you would say it's far-fetched, but the way you would read the Pesukim is like this. The Pasuk in Lech Lecha means Avram Yodoya Teda Vavadamino. It was supposed to have been 400 years. But the Pasuk in Boy means, but you know, the Jewish people did something wrong. We sold Yosef, therefore we didn't count from when Yosef was born until he was 30 years old. And therefore, in total, we needed to be 430 years. So you say, what are we going to do with this? Really, the 400 years were supposed to start from the Brisbane Abisarim? This opens up an incredible understanding in a very, I guess, mysterious episode in the Chumash. Okay, let's go to the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Tzadik Beis Amud Beis. In on Pesach, in the Haftarah of Pesach, we read about the dry bones that the Navi Yecheskel envisioned. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says Yecheskel had a vision that these bones stood on their legs and they sang Shira. And they got up and they sang Shira. And the Gemara says, did it really happen? Did it not happen? So Rabbi Yehuda says, Emes Mashal Haya. In truth, it was a parable. In truth, it was a parable. So somebody told me, I have a critic who said, you know, Rabbi, don't use the following expression. The truth of the matter is. You ever hear it like, why? They're right. Because it sounds like everything else you're saying is sheker v'chazav, right? So you don't use the expression, the truth of the matter. But the Gemara here is using. The Gemara says, MS, the truth is, mashal. It's a parable. So the Gemara asks, was it the truth or is it a parable? So the Gemara says, the truth is it's a parable, meaning it never really happened. But then the Gemara brings another opinion. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Haglili Oimer, the dead who Yecheskel brought back to life, they went up to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so Yecheskel's having a vision. Now we're going to learn, when did Yecheskel have this vision? When Nebuchadnezzar threw Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah into the fire. So Hananiah, Mishael is in this big conflagration, and they're burning up. It almost looks like they're burning up. And Hashem tells Yecheskel, go prophesy. And Yecheskel wakes up the bones in the valley of the Dura, and the bones get up. And the Gemara says, an opinion, who are these bones? They went up to Eretz Yisrael, they got married, they had sons, they had daughters. And then, come on, the Gemara says, come on, no way. They got up and they got married? I mean, people were dead and then they got up and they just took somebody to the chuppah? You know, after they had a sit-in for a minute and they went straight to the chuppah, from the grave to the chuppah. It's a famous novel, From the Grave to the Chuppah, right? So Gemara said, yeah, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseiro stood up. He said, I'm a descendant of these guys who were in the grave. Here are the tefillin that my grandfather left me. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseiro said, my Zayda was one of these people who was dead and then got married to somebody, and I'm a grandson. So Gemara asks, and who are these dead who Yecheskel envisioned in the valley of Dura? Who were they? Who died? Listen to this. Amar Rav Elu b'nei Ephraim. The b'nei Ephraim. The descendants, not just the descendants of Ephraim, the son of Ephraim. You know what Ephraim is? The son of Yaakov Avinu. Shemanu leketz. They made a calculation of how long they were supposed to be in Mitzrayim. They miscalculated and they decided, that's it, adios, we're out of here. And they left and they went through which land, what part of Israel? You know, the most troubled spot in Israel is what? Gaza, of course. Everything bad happens in the Gaza. That's why Hashem didn't want to lead them. Derech Eretz Plishim, we're going to get to that. So they went through the land of Gas, and the B'nai Ephraim were murdered, and Ephraim in Mitzrayim is sitting Shiva, and the Shvatim went to be Menachem Avil Ephraim. That's what the Gemara says. And they were all dead in the valley of Dura. Now, how they got from Gaza to Babylon, that I have no idea. Because they died in Gaza. And Yecheskel is prophesying by Nebuchadnezzar in the valley of Dura in Iraq. So how they got from the Gaza, I'm not sure. But that's what the Gemara says, okay? So the question is, what cheshbon, what was the mistake of the B'nai Ephraim? So says Rashi, if you look at number 11, they made the following mistake. Hashem told Avraham that we're going to be gerim for how long? 400 years. Now really, the 400 years started from when Yitzchak was born. But the B'nai Ephraim is calculated, and they cheshbin for 400 years from the Bris Bein HaBesarim, from when Hashem spoke to Avraham Avinu. Really, the 400 years didn't start till 30 years later. But the Bnei Ephraim miscalculated and they counted 400 years from the Bris Bein HaBesarim. Therefore, how many years early did the Bnei Ephraim leave Mitzrayim? 30 years. And they were all murdered. That's the Gemara with Rashi's explanation. By the way, what?
Ephraim was still alive?
Ephraim was alive. Apparently. That's what it says in the Pasuk. It's the Pasuk in the Vayayamim. Vayamas Yosef v'cholach v'chol ha'dor ha'hu. Not yet. This was before. That was before. Okay. This is where, this is my contribution. By the this idea that the Bnei Ephraim were killed, they never entered Eretz Yisrael, and they never left Mitzrayim. This answers a lot of questions in Shas. Let's start with some of them. There's a Gemara in Psachim, in the beginning of Psachim, that says that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira was not oile regel on Yom Tov. Imagine such a thing? I know people that go to Eretz Yisrael and they keep one day Yom Tov. Why? Because they go every regel and they own an apartment, you know, and they have every reason why they only have to keep one day. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira lived in Eretz Yisrael and he was not oile regel. Why? That's Tosus's Kashem Sachem in number 12. Tosus asks on the third line, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira shloi ala l'regel. Why wasn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira ala l'regel? So answers Tosus, Yisrael ala karka. He didn't have real estate. Because the Gemara says in Psachim Chesam Beizam Rabami, Kol Adam Sheish Loi Karka Oyle L'Regel. If you own real estate, you're Oyle L'Regel. Ain Loi Karka, Ain Oyle L'Regel. So the question is, Haflav Afela, how is it possible for a Jew not to own land in Eretz Yisrael? Every single Jew owns land, has an ancestral land in Eretz Yisrael. Unless you're a ger, which Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira was not, every single Jew owns land. If you come from Shevet Yehuda, so you have every heir of Shevet Yehuda has land in Eretz Yisrael. Unless you're in debt and you sold it and Yovel didn't come yet, but Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, what?
Shevet Levi.
Shevet Levi, yeah. Maybe Shevet Levi. Yeah. But he's not, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is not a Levi. So what does Tosis mean? He doesn't have karka in Eretz Yisrael. By the way, this explains, you know, we say in the Shalosh Regalim, we say, V'ha-shev koyhanim. What? La-avoida-sam. The koyhanim will return to the avoida. That makes sense to say in the davening. U-levi'im li-shiram u-le-zimram. The levi'im will return to the duchen. V'ha-shev Yisrael li-nve'im. And the Jews will return to their houses. That's like random. Why would, you know, I understand why we're davening Hashem. We're waiting for the day the Kohanim will do the Avodah. We're waiting for the day the Levim will do the Shira. But why are we saying, V'hashev Yisrael and Vayim, the Jews will return to their apartments. I mean, you know, it's random words in the Tefillah. So it's, why are we saying that? And the next words are, V'sham na'alev ne'rav v'nishtachaveh. Says the Brisker Rav, beautiful, this tefillah is based on this Tosfos. Because Tosfos just said, in order to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, what do you need? Karka! So the Kohanim will do the Avodah, the Levim will sing Shira, but we can't be Oilei L'Regel yet until V'hashev Yisrael L'nveyem will go back to the land, V'sham Na'alev V'Neiroa V'Neshachav, and only then you could be Oilei L'Regel. So to lumdus the tefillah saying, it's the Kohanim will do Avodah, Levim will sing Shira, says the Brisker Rav, but you can't be Oile Regal ad V'hashev Yisrael Linveim V'sham Na'alev V'nei Rav V'neshtachaveh. So says the Vilna Gaon, an incredible thing. It's quoted in the Shalos HaTshuvos Beis Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmalkish, one of the Gedolei HaPoskim of the 19th century. That's the pshat in Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. You know how Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira didn't have karka in Eretz Yisrael? Who gets karka in Eretz Yisrael? Gemara Bava Basra. Either those who left Mitzrayim, or those who entered the land. But there are a few Jews who are neither. They didn't leave Mitzrayim with the rest of the Jewish people, and they didn't enter Eretz Yisrael with the rest of the Jewish people. Who's that? The Bnei Ephraim. The Gemara in Sanhedrin said, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira said, my Yalta Zayda was the Bnei Ephraim, here are the tefillin he left me. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira was a descendant of the Bnei Ephraim who booked out in that small window of opportunity between the Yotzei Mitzrayim and the Boi Aretz. Mamela, he has no karka in Eretz Yisrael, he's pater from Aliyah L'Regel.
Maybe his parents were
Gerim. Maybe, but like, why impugn his lineage when we know what the answer is. The answer, he says, I'm from the Bnei Ephraim. So, you know, Maybe, you're right, but we have a definite, right? We have a definite approach here.
What does Toysa say there?
Or he's Zaken.
No, so then you don't have to have Kaka. Maybe that's why he didn't go up.
Yeah, but the question is, what's the first hand? What's the first line of Tosis? What do you mean he didn't have karka? That's an absurd possibility. Every Jew has karka. Why wouldn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiah have karka?
He lived there. He lived in Eretz Yisrael.
Even if he didn't, he owns. You know, he has a right to Eretz Yisrael. No, wait, okay, weiter. So back to the ranch, back to the Bnei Ephraim. So what's this Indian that? The Bnei Ephraim, they booked out of Eretz Yisrael early. Let's just get a little bit more of the details, and then we're going to come back to why they made this cheshbon. Based on the way we learned Tosfos, it will come out very clear. The Medrash says on the Pasuk that Hashem, when He took us out of Mitzrayim, He could have taken us the direct route. Direct route would have been Gaza, right? That's the straightest way out of Egypt into Israel. But V'leinachem Aleikim Darach Eretz Plishtim Ki Karayfu. So the Pshat Rashi says is, it's very close, and the Plishtim would fight against us, and we'd get scared, and we would run back. But the Medrash says very different. The Medrash says that the Bnei Ephraim made a cheshbon, that the 400 years were up, and therefore they left Mitzrayim 30 years early. And they went into the Eretz Plishtim. And the Medrash says 300,000 Bnei Ephraim were killed. I don't know how that's possible. Why? Because there are only 600,000 Jews altogether. Okay, so let's say there are 3 million Jews. You're saying because... Okay. So, maybe. We're going to see the Sefer HaYashar says it was 30,000. But maybe you're right. Maybe before the 4/5 died. So it was maybe 3 million or 30 million or 300 million. Maybe that's how that number makes sense. Okay, I hear what you're saying. And they were killed. And the Medrash says their bones were strewn throughout the Gaza. They were not buried for 30 years. So Hashem said, if I'm going to take the Jews through the Gaza, and they're going to look down, and they're going to see their first cousin, and their second cousin, and third cousin, and they're going to realize that they were knocked off by the Plishtim, they're going to get scared and run back. And the Medrash brings a mashal, a pretty interesting mashal. It's a mashal to a king who marries a woman, and he takes her on vacation, and she dies. And she's buried at the entrance of the city. So he, what's he going to do? He marries the sister. But he's careful when he goes on vacation with her not to go in the main entrance of the city so she doesn't have to see what happened to the king's first wife. So he takes her around the back entrance. So too, when Hashem took us into Eretz Yisrael the first time, it didn't work out, so He took us in through the back entrance. Why we need a mashal for this, why it doesn't sound like a very complicated concept, you know, I'm sure there's a deep shot over here. The Sefer HaYashar gives us some more details. He says the Bnei Ephraim went in. These were mighty warriors. These are warriors. That one man of Ephraim, he says 30,000 soldiers from Ephraim went into Eretz Yisrael. Each one could chase away 1,000 of the enemy. And they were so confident, they didn't bring food, they didn't bring provisions. They said, either we're going to buy from the Plishtim, or we'll take it by force. So they come into Gaza. And they see some shepherds, and they say, give us some sheep, give us some cattle. And they say, no, we're not giving it to you. We'll buy it. No, we don't want to sell it. And they took it by force, and they stood up, and they cried out for help. And the whole city of Gaza came, and it was a civil war. And they called out to the whole Gaza, and 40,000 Philistines came. And meanwhile, the Bnei Ephraim didn't have food with them, and they were starving for 3 days. They had no food, nothing to eat, nothing to drink. And they wiped out 29,990 Bnei Ephraim. Only 10 survivors who went back to Mitzrayim. The Bnei Ephraim wiped out 20,000 soldiers of the Plishtim. And the bones of the Bnei Ephraim were strewn about throughout the Gaza. So says Hagoyin with Pinchas Friedman, Mamish Hagoyinus. Why did the Bnei Ephraim miscalculate? Why did they calculate 30 years early? They blew 30 years. The answer is based on the way the Shla reads Tosfos. Really, the 400 years were supposed to have started from the Bris Ben Absarim. It's not that the Bnei Ephraim miscalculated. They calculated the way it was meant. Remember, the way the Marshal learns Tosfos, the 400 years started from the time that Yitzchak was born. But the way the Shlah reads Tosfos, based on the words of Tosfos we have, it's not that the 400 years start from when Yitzchak was born. The 400 years started from the Bris Ben HaBesarim. It's just because of the Mechiras Yosef, God tacked on another 30 years. So it's not that the Bnei Ephraim miscalculated. They got it. This is what Hashem meant. So they said, the Ribbono Shel Olam said 400 years from the Bris Ben HaBesarim. The 400 years are up. We're out of here. They said Hashem added 30 years. Oh, here's the next goyness. Why did Hashem add 30 years? Hashem only added 30 years because of Mechiras Yosef. We are Yosef. There's no reason we have to tack on 30 years for us. The whole reason the Ribbono Shel Olam added 30 years is because of Mechiras Yosef. We're Ephraim. We're Yosef. We're not going to be punished for Mechiras Yosef. We are Yosef. So they felt that the 30 years did not apply to them. So they booked out 30 years early. So what's the taina on them? So what did they do wrong? You know, Hashem, according to the way the Shla reads Tosfos, the 400 years taka start from the Bris Ben HaBesarim. The only reason 30 years were added because of the Mechira, they weren't part of the Mechira, so the Bnei Ephraim were right. So, Pinchas Friedman says, Lamaisa, the tradition was, Hashem came to Moshe, and Hashem told Moshe, go tell the Jews, they're going to be redeemed, and they're going to listen to you. They're going to listen to you. And Rashi explains, Vishamu lekailecha, because they had a tradition from Yosef. Does anybody remember? Yosef told the Jewish people, when anybody comes and says the following two magic words, you know that he's a redeemer. What's? Pakai pakadati. So when Moshe came to the Jews and said, Pakai pakadati, the Jews said, oh, you know, you're the redeemer. So the mistake of the Bnei Ephraim was they had a code words that they needed to hear before they left. Pakai pakada, they never heard those words. What are you leaving for? Number two, you can't just leave Mitzrayim. Didn't somebody tell you that you better not leave here without taking me with you? Yosef, don't leave unless you take my bones with you. So the Shvile Pinchas says, because they did not take the Atzmais Yosef, they were punished. Mida, Keneg, and Mida, their bones were sort of degraded and discarded, Beroish Kalchutzais, in a very disparaging way. But here's where the story turns a little bit. You know, there's a Zimra that we sing by Shal Shudas. In the Altaheim, they sing, Voyoy Meyedoyim Chamutz Begodim, na 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 na. You know? You know, you want to give us a little flavor, a little taste? Anyway, Bevoyoy me Edoim Chamos Begadim. When God comes from Edoim with red garments, dirty garments, so, right? Yeah, you know that song. But Menachem knows that song, right? That's the old time song. My grandfather, Rabbi David Shul in Flatbush, so they're different Nagunim. They have like seven different Nagunim, and the Rav is Mechabed. No. Rabbi Yankel, you sing this. Everyone has their nigun. For the last 50 years, everyone. My grandfather sings Bavoyoy Meyadim. Yeah. What does it mean that Ribbono Shel Olam's garment is going to be red? Why is Ribbono Shel Olam's garment going to be red? Well, why have a red garment? It says a pasuk in Yeshaya. Pasuk says that Ba'achris Hayamim, we're going to ask Ribbono Shel Olam, why is your garment red? Madua adoim levushecha. Why is your garment red? Uvegadecha kedorech begas. It looks like you're like trampling around in gas. Where's gas? Gaza! God, what are you wearing? It looks like you're, you know, stomping around in Gaza or something. Says the Medrash, La'asid lavai, when Hashem is going to destroy the Goyim, Hashem is going to be wearing a garment, and he's going to take his garment and dip it in the blood of the Bnei Ephraim. And Hashem's going to say, I will not be consoled until I avenge the blood of the Bnei Ephraim. You hear this? La'asad lavai. Before Mashiach comes, God's going to take his garment, so to speak, dip it in blood and say, I will not be consoled until I avenge the blood of the Bnei Ephraim. So wait a second. This is sort of contrary to everything we learned so far. It almost sounds like the Bnei Ephraim are these big tzaddikim, mm-hmm. who they were killed unlawfully, unrightfully. They were Moser Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem, and God is going to kiviyachal be toivel his garment in their blood and avenge their death. What do you mean? They were shoim, no? They miscalculated. They left Mitzrayim without permission. They made a big error. They made a big mistake. God said 400 years, and they miscalculated. They didn't have permission. They did it without Rishus. So why is God, so to speak, going to inaugurate the coming of Mashiach by dipping his garment in the blood of the Bnei Ephraim. So clearly we see from here that the story is not as advertised. The Bnei Ephraim must have had a very lofty intention and kavana in leaving Mitzrayim 30 years early. Perhaps it was slightly misguided, but it was based on an altruistic purpose. They had very lofty kavanos, and the Ribbono Shel is mourning their death and has to avenge their death, and that will initiate the coming of the Mashiach. So, the Shvilei Pinchas advanced the following idea. We know in Machsheves Yisrael there's a well-known concept that we have two Mashiachs, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. The Gemara talks about this in at least one place in the Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Nun Beis. The Gemara says, when Mashiach ben David will reveal itself in Her V'yameinu, so Hashem is going to say, Mashiach! 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 Ay, 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 right? He's going to say, Mashiach, ask me whatever you want. I'll give you whatever you want. So Mashiach is going to look around. He's going to see Mashiach ben Yosef was killed. So Mashiach ben David says, Yivasham, I don't want nothing. Just let me live. I don't need anything, right? I just want to live. So Hashem says, you know what? David HaMelech already prophesied that that's what you're going to ask for. Like it says in Tehillim, Sha'al mimeni ve'etzin agoyim nachlasach. Hashem tells Mashiach, ask me whatever you want. And what does Mashiach say? Chayim sha'al mimcha nesat alay. Mashiach will ask for life because he doesn't want to die like the Mashiach ben Yosef. And Hashem will say, wish granted. And the Marsha explains, that's because before Mashiach comes, there'll be Mashiach ben Yosef, and Mashiach ben Yosef will destroy Esav, because Mashiach ben Yosef is the flame, Esav is the straw, and then he will die when all the Goyim, so to speak, come to Yerushalayim to fight the final war, and then Mashiach ben David will ultimately redeem us. In fact, I see my friend Reb Shlomo is not here tonight, but he told me many times from the Arizal writes, that when you say in the bracha of Yerushalayim Ircha, when you say V'chise David Avdecha Mehera L'soicha Tachin, the Arizal says, and all the Sfardim know this, right? In all the Sfardi Sidurim, it says, you should have the following kavana: Hashem, save Mashiach ben Yosef from Armilos. Because there's a tradition that in the final battle, Armilos is going to kill Mashiach ben Yosef. So when you say, V'chise David Avdecha Mehera L'soicha Tachin, Davin that Mashiach ben Yosef will not have to die. Apparently, you could save him. I guess if you're davening that he shouldn't die, I guess you could save his life. The Shla points out throughout history, the way Hashem, so to speak, builds Klal Yisrael is first through Shevet Yosef and then through Shevet Yehuda. So, for example, in Mitzrayim, Yosef is sent down to Mitzrayim before everybody. The Medrash says he controls his lust, he controls his taiva, and that protected Klal Yisrael when they came down to Mitzrayim later. So Yosef comes down to Mitzrayim. He, so to speak, what is Yosef's midah? The midah of Yisoid. He's called a tzaddik. Tzaddik Yisoid Olam. Yosef guards his mila, which is the Yisoid of the body, and therefore he establishes the foundation for Klal Yisrael. Once Yosef comes and he creates a Yisoid for Klal Yisrael, then Yehuda comes down and he builds Klal Yisrael. Vayishav es Yehuda shalach lefanav el Yosef lehoyres lefanav. So throughout history we have this pattern that first Yosef comes, builds the foundation, and then Yehuda comes. Another example, the Mishkan. Where was the first Mishkan? Mishkan Shilai. That's in the Chelek of Yosef. It lasts 369 years. It's destroyed. Ultimately, the Beis HaMikdash is built in Chelek Yehuda. This is the verdict of history. Yosef sets the foundation, followed by Yehuda, who builds Klal Yisrael. Yosef creates us as a nation, then Yehuda becomes the king. Yosef is Beis Yosef in Mitzrayim. What do we do? As soon as we leave Mitzrayim, Hoysi Yehuda Lekotcha Yisrael Me'am Lo'yiz. That's the Shaul is the first Melech Yisrael, and then David HaMelech. But Shaul is only Shaul, it's only borrowed. He's just borrowing to set the stage to create us as a people, and then Yehuda comes in as the Melech. So Yosef paves the way. That's the concept. Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben Yosef will forge us into a people. Mashiach ben David will rule over us. The Bnei Yisachar writes the same thing. Mitzrayim is the pre-enactment of all the four Galios. And therefore, the leaving of Mitzrayim is the pre-enactment of the Geula. And therefore, first Yosef comes out to Mitzrayim, and then Yehuda is sent down. And the meeting, the union of Yehuda and Yosef is like the pre-enactment of the Trei Mashichin throughout history. So, therefore, there is this tradition that before Mashiach ben David comes, before Klal Yisrael could have a Geula, Ephraim, Yosef, so to speak, has to set the path, go ahead, the same way Yosef came down to Mitzrayim before the rest of the Jewish people, the same way Mashiach ben Yosef will precede Mashiach ben David. There's a concept, you know, Yosef's always one step ahead. The reason why, suggested Shvili Pinchas, the Bnei Ephraim, so to speak, were couldn't contain themselves, is they knew that leaving Mitzrayim 30 years early, they had a good cheshbon, like we said. The Hashem meant 400 years from the Bris Bein HaBasarim. And the only reason he added 30 years is because of the Mechiras Yosef that they were not a part of. But with all of that, part of the cheshbon was that the Bnei Ephraim know that the verdict of history is that Shevet Yosef always paves the way ahead of the rest of Klal Yisrael at personal risk. They knew it wasn't safe. They knew they were jeopardizing their life. But they were always Moisar Nefesh, and they will always be Moisar Nefesh. And that was their cheshbon. Now you say, what does Bnei Ephraim have to do with this? So the interesting idea here, when we say Mashiach ben Yosef, could we get a little bit more specific here? Is it Mashiach ben Yosef, or is it, do they come from a specific Shevet? So there is strong indication that it's not just Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef comes specifically from Shevet Ephraim. So for example, if you look at number 27, the Pasuk says, then the end of days, there won't be jealousy. Ephraim won't be jealous of Yehuda. Yehuda won't be jealous of Ephraim. Says Rashi, who does Ephraim and Yehuda refer to? Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef. So Rashi is saying Ephraim refers to Mashiach ben Yosef. The Zohar explicitly calls Mashiach ben Yosef Mashiach ben Ephraim. So, suggests the Shvilei Pinchas, the cheshbon of the Bnei Ephraim, which we definitely have a tremendous amount of added insight into, based on the Shlaz reading of Tosfos, that the 400 years did not intend to start from the birth of Yitzchak. They intended to start from the Bris Bein HaBasarim. It was changed because of the Mechira. But besides that cheshbon of the Bnei Ephraim, they always have it in their DNA that they're going to be the Yisoid and set the stage and, so to speak, risk their life to prepare the way for Klal Yisrael. And as we know, if you remember in Parshas Bahaloscha, when the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael, the plan was for Mashiach to come. They weren't going to like wait 1,000 years and then build the base of Mikdash. If not for the Chet of the Masoinim, they were going straight to the temple. So the Bnei Ephraim said, look, if the Jews are going straight into Eretz Yisrael and building the Beis HaMikdash, then we got to precede them. The only way we could do that is get in as soon as possible. The only way to get in as soon as possible is as soon as the 400 years are up, we got to get in. So they made a cheshbon, the 400 years are up. Hashem added 30 to the rest of our brethren, but that doesn't apply to us. So just to end, the Shvili Pinchas points out, it's very interesting, that when did Hashem wake up the Bnei Ephraim? Like, when did Hashem bring them back to life? In what context? In the context when Nebuchadnezzar is throwing Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah into the fire. So they're being Moiser Nefesh HaKadosh Hashem. While God is protecting Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, at that moment Hashem is bringing back to life the Bnei Ephraim to indicate the same way Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are being saved because they're really being Moiser Nefesh HaKadosh Hashem. Don't think the Bnei Ephraim are Avaryonim or Shoim and they made a big error. They were also Moiser Nefesh HaKadosh Hashem. And I'm bringing them back to life simultaneously with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Yes, at the moment they were killed because they did make a mistake. Because ultimately, by the way, even Yosef is responsible for the Mechiras Yosef. You know, the Ravina Bechaye says that there are Asara Haruge Malchus, Keneged the 10 Shvatim, and who's the 10th? Yosef himself is the 10th. What did Yosef do wrong? He incited the sale. So even Yosef's responsible for the Mechira. So the Bnei Ephraim ultimately miscalculated, but it was motivated by very lofty motivations, which were to set the stage ultimately for the entrance of the rest of Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara says that when these bones woke up, they walked over to Nebuchadnezzar, the Gemara says, and they slapped him in the face. What were they telling Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar, you're silly. You think you destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. You think that's the end of the Jewish people. We're the Bnei Ephraim. We've been lying in the ground for a few hundred years. We're waking up now. Now you should know that when Hashem brings Mashiach, He's going to inaugurate His bringing of the Mashiach by dipping His garment into the blood of the Bnei Ephraim, because it was the Mesiras Nefesh of the Bnei Ephraim, which maybe at the time was not able to set the stage for the coming of Mashiach, but ultimately that act and that Mesiras Nefesh is significant b'enei Hashem and is important b'enei Hashem, and in some way did initiate the ultimate coming of the future redemption. So this is some insight into the tragic saga of the Bnei Ephraim. Thank you everyone for listening. I wish everyone a wonderful night. Shkayach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.